Welcome to today's edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast.
Welcome in, everybody. Second hour of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. We are flying by today, as we always do. 800-282-2882. We'll try to get some of your calls in the back of this hour. We've got a stacked show. We'll be talking about Ukraine-Russia stuff. We'll be talking more about the migrant flights in the dead of night. What's going on there? Why are they hiding it from us? Great interview with Miranda Devine earlier on the show, if you missed it, of the New York Post. You can go to clayandbuck.com. We've got the story posted there. And I want to tell you, we're going to get into some of what Joe Biden just said about the Supreme Court pick that is now his to make as soon as Breyer retires. He gave a speech. We've got some of the, I wouldn't say some of the highlights. I'd say some of the audio. I don't know if they're really highlights. It was Joe, you know, yeah, it's great. You know, it's brilliant. Constitution, blah, blah, make it a pick. You know, the usual Joe Biden stuff. And then he had Breyer up there, too. So we'll give you some of that. But Clay pointed out to me, and he just shared the audio on Twitter, that Biden says it's going to be a black woman on the Supreme Court. Full stop. That is it. That's what's going to happen here. And I think that raises some very interesting questions about, wait, I thought we were a country where it was not okay to discriminate on the basis of race in hiring, in appointments. And we'll discuss more of that. We'll bring you some of that audio. But on the good news front, I wanted to offer you that there's already some rehiring underway of people who were fired from their jobs because they would not get the shot. I know Starbucks is starting to do this. I believe Delta Airlines is starting to do this. And our friend Marty McCary, Dr. McCary, will be with us tomorrow for a great op-ed in the Wall Street Journal on this issue of, hold on a second, why were these people fired? Natural immunity, which especially healthcare workers, but a lot of other people had, better than vaccinated immunity. This is reality. They suppressed it. Walensky and Fauci suppressed it. So we'll get into that discussion. But that's starting to turn. But Clay, this one was almost too much. You know that Jen Psaki went out and said that Florida was not doing enough to reopen schools. The state of Florida is somehow not an open state on this issue. Just wanted to hear the governor fighting back against this one.
Here you go. The White House press secretary, you know, stands in front of that podium and lies through her teeth every single day, and usually about the state of Florida. The other day she said Florida hasn't done enough to get schools open. Are you kidding me? I remember them criticizing me when we did this almost 2 years ago. We were the only big state to have every school district open for in person. And we did that way before Biden was even president. We didn't need the Biden stimulus money for that. We did it. We opened them. And yet they're saying Florida didn't do it. And you look right now, all the school closures across the country, you don't see that happening here like you do there.
Unbelievable.
I want to give Ron DeSantis direct praise on this, my personal experience. Okay, when I was doing our sports show, Buck, Ron DeSantis came on and said, one of the first people I can ever remember saying it, not only are schools going to be open in Florida this fall, we're playing every sports event in Florida, right? And people out there listening in Florida, remember how controversial of a decision that was. He was saying that in June and July of 2020, because remember, schools start early in the South because a lot of people play football. That's one of the reasons. But you're in school usually in the South by August. And Buck, I'll tell you this. We had this direct conversation in June and July of 2020. My wife and I were fortunate. We've got a place in Florida. We were going to relocate our family to Florida to have our kids attend in-person public school in the state of Florida if Tennessee weren't going to have in-person schooling. We were going to uproot. We got three boys. We were going to pick them all up, pack them in the car, and go right down to Florida and enroll them in Florida public schools, because I was so psyched about DeSantis coming out in June and July of 2020 and saying, not only are we going to have schools open, but if your kid plays a sport, if your kid is involved in an extracurricular activity, we're going to do that too. And he did it. And do you know what the data reflected? It didn't harm the kids There was no massive increase in overall COVID infections because of schools being open. We just had that conversation, Buck, about Flint, Michigan, for instance, Gretchen Whitmer's state up there. There are still kids not able, in after almost 2 years since 15 days to stop the spread, there are still kids unable to get an education in many parts of this country. It's a disgrace.
Just think of how pathetic the propaganda is here coming from Psaki at the White House. Florida hasn't done enough to open schools. I mean, this, it's not even effective in trying to speak to the Democrat base. I mean, everyone knows that's completely crazy, but I think they're in a place where they're desperate. I mean, Clay, this is like saying, you know, Aaron Rodgers, my new favorite NFL player, not a good enough quarterback. It's like, I think he's a pretty good quarterback. Like, I think saying that he shouldn't, you know, he shouldn't be playing football would be kind of crazy, right? Ron DeSantis, dare I say, is the Aaron Rodgers of quarterbacks. So there you go.
The Aaron Rodgers of governors.
Oh, I'm sorry. Of governors. Thank you. The Aaron Rodgers of governors.
I think even Ron DeSantis would be like, hey, I don't think, I know Ron DeSantis is a big sports fan. Even he who might have strong self-confidence, I don't think he would call himself the Aaron Rodgers of quarterback. Did, by the way, play baseball, which is, I think, one reason why he was so aware of the importance of keeping schools open for athletics. He played baseball at Yale, I believe. Good baseball player growing up in Florida. Went to the Little League World Series. But you know this, Buck. I've seen it because of what I do for a living. And everybody out there who has been involved in sports knows this. There are a lot of kids that go to school so they can play on a sports team. And what you have to hope is, and you know this from coaching yourself, what you hope is if you keep those kids in the classroom, eventually that light bulb goes off. What I would always tell kids is use the ball. Don't let the ball use you. Because if you're a talented athlete, people will take advantage of that athletic ability and keep you eligible in school. And you hope that light bulb goes off for a kid and they say, wait a minute. You know, even if I'm a tremendous athlete, by the time I get into my 30s, I have virtually no ability to compete at a high level anymore, but your brain can continue to refine itself years and years. You know, athletic mortality is a young age, and that's why I think keeping the sports leagues open in addition to the schools is so important.
This is also why, and I have to keep saying this, you know, I use the term mandated child abuse by Fauci. I mean it when you see what's going on across the country, because it's psychological abuse for a lot of these kids to be separated, to be kept at home away from their peers, to be masked up all the time. And then on top of that, all these other the Democrat narrative is, oh, we're fine, schools are open again for the most part. Biden himself said 95% open. Hold on a second. First of all, the fact that that number is not 100%,
yes,
2 years into this is disgusting. It's disgusting. It's unacceptable. Put that aside. And by the way, if we were in a bad flu season and you had, you know, 20% of the faculty of one school that were sick, yeah, of course, shutting down for a day, but that would have been normal before, right? That's not necessarily a COVID thing.
Yeah,
that's a look.
Right.
If you've got people sick, you might take a pause just so people can, you know, recover and come back into the classroom. You're not doing this forever zero COVID policy. So that's one part of it. But also there's a dishonesty, Clay, about how things are normal for kids in blue states, whether it's New York, Maryland, California, you name it. Things are not normal. They do not have sports. They do not have after school activities. They are segregating kids right now in Loudoun County, Virginia, in rejection of the governor's order. It's lawlessness what they're doing. They're segregating masked and unmasked kids in the school building. And so I guess technically that's open in-class learning, but they're separating out these kids based on whether they want to wear masks or not. Very happy to see. I don't know if you saw this, Clay. There are some students showing up at schools in Loudoun without masks, even though the school district is saying you have to wear masks anyway. Because what they're doing is lawless. And if they kick any kids out, they should be sued. There should be action taken.
No doubt. They're standing in the schoolhouse doors. We had Joe Biden try to compare American senators to George Wallace. We have a direct historical connotation here because Kerry Lucas, I believe, who we talked to yesterday, said that there are security guards standing on the schoolhouse steps, not allowing children without masks on to enter into the school. And Buck, I'm glad you mentioned that 95% number, because Biden in his press conference made a big deal about how, hey, you know, 95% of schools are open. That 5% that's not open, overwhelmingly minority kids, right, that are not able to go to school. And 95% isn't good enough, to your point. It needs to be 100%. Imagine if Biden had said, in response to police misconduct, guys, there's way too much attention on police misconduct here. 95% of the time, police cause no issue at all. I'm really upset that you guys in the media focus on that 5%. The Democrats would impeach him. They would say, wait, you're saying that the George Floyd incident is overplayed and that it shouldn't be representative of the larger context, even though it's way fewer, right, than 5%. What do you say? 99.9%, I would imagine, of police interactions with civilians are completely without inappropriate behavior. And here he's saying 95%, 1 in 20 kids, again, overwhelmingly representative in that 1 in 20 is minority kids, which is supposed to be the base of the Democratic Party, that the Democratic Party claims that they care about so much. Overwhelmingly, that group is represented here. 95% is not good enough when it comes to kids in school.
The metric should also be not whether schools are open, are schools back to normal. Full-scale normalcy. Number of kids in the classrooms, no masks, all activities, full-scale normalcy. And, of course, no vaccine mandates. So this fight is far from over, but you're noticing one of the ways they try to prevent the mobilization of sanity against Fauci tyranny is by saying, what's the big deal? Schools are open. Everything is fine. That's a lie. Everything is not fine, even in places where schools are open. I think it's important that we remind everybody of that.
And I think also, by the way, some good news. I'm sure you saw this. We haven't mentioned it yet on the show. Denmark has become another sane country. Come February 1st, they are eliminating all COVID restrictions in their country.
Everything. No masks, everything.
Zero restrictions. They're going back 100% to normal. That's what England is doing. That's what Scotland is doing. I'm sure there are other European countries that are considering doing the same. And tomorrow, when we talk to the trio that wrote that Atlantic piece about how masks in schools have zero scientific support, again, the Atlantic is not known to be a source of right-wing propaganda as it pertains to masks. This is a very traditionally left-wing magazine. And the fact that this kind of article is occurring there is symptomatic, I believe, of sanity starting to penetrate. It was with the Bill Maher show and Barry Weiss. There is an underpinning of sanity that is starting to rise up even on the left side of this country. Our buddy Mike Lindell, he's got a passion to help you get the best sleep of your life. And right now, I got to tell you about these slippers. All right. My wife just came upstairs and she is wearing her slippers. So I don't want to put her on blast. It's the middle of the day. She could be wearing a lot of different shoes. She's wearing these slippers because they are so wildly comfortable. As soon as she comes in the house, like a lot of women, she's got heels. She's got I can't even keep up with all the different types of shoes my wife has. She could wear anything. She wears these My Slippers. They're 50% off right now with the code Clay and Buck. You can get hooked up right now. There's also an overstock sale. Deep discounts, pillows, towels, sheets, all of that. For a limited time, you can get hooked up right now. Buck, you know this. Go to MyPillow.com. How do people take advantage of these slippers and all these incredible offers?
I got the slippers at home. I wear them every morning getting ready for the show. And I'm telling you, you should get one for every member of your family, a pair for everybody. They're so amazing, especially in the wintertime. It's a little cold outside. They're great. Go to MyPillow.com. Click on the radio listener specials right now. You can get 50% off. I mean, that's a fantastic deal. 50% off the My Slippers. Remember, all MyPillow products come with a 60-day money-back guarantee. Enter promo code CLAYANDBUCK or call 800-792-3269. Again, that's promo code CLAYANDBUCK or call 800-792-3269 for these great radio specials.
Welcome back in, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. Appreciate all of you hanging out with us. Oh, my. There's so much insanity. We really do try to be a voice for sanity in an insane world. We only, I know, share a small portion of all the craziness that's going on in a day-to-day basis in American media. But these are people that are paid, theoretically, you know, $1 million or more for their opinion. And consistently, The View might be the dumbest show in America. But can you think of a dumber show that is a, you know, like ensemble cast, right? I mean, obviously Joy Reid by herself.
It's like dumbest political show, right? Because there's probably a game show we could point to.
But a game show, you know, you're not like trying to influence American policy. And so
political show. The dumbest political show.
One that is based, that theoretically is appealing to the intelligence or at least the ability of to have a discussion surrounding cultural issues of the day, politics and everything else. The View, I believe this is today. Is it today or yesterday? I don't know. It all sounds the same. But they went out and said, Buck, today, this was earlier today, they argued that Amy Coney Barrett is a disgrace to her sex and that Clarence Thomas is a disgrace to his race. This is crazy. Listen to this.
Considering the uneven kind of court we have right now, it's so important that this is happening in a time where we can get another liberal. And of course, the representation, more than anything, you pointed out, first black woman, there's only been two black men. Those numbers are a little shocking.
And one doesn't really represent the black community.
You could make the case that somebody like Amy Coney Barrett was put in there because she's a white woman who they say, well, she'll go against abortion rights, and she's a woman. So that was deliberate, I think. Clarence Thomas, a black man, a justice, okay, I'll give it to him. He's a smart guy. But he is to the right of Attila the Hun, this guy. And they put him in there thinking, oh, a black man will go against voting rights, which is what he does.
Terribly disrespectful to appoint someone like Clarence Thomas with his philosophies to the seat of Thurgood Marshall.
Oh, okay. There's so much wrong, Clay, that I'm wondering how. First of all, it is demeaning and absurd to think that a person's gender or skin color should determine their politics. Now, we know the left is obsessed with this.
It's
but
racist
wrong.
And
yeah.
sexist.
Yeah,
Buck,
they are being
that.
Evil commies when they put forward this idea. They are wrong. They are immoral. It's gross. So start with that. Also, this notion that Supreme Court seats belong to a previous justice is just idiotic. Like, there's no, that doesn't exist. That's not a thing. The same way that we don't have Merrick Garland's stolen seat. Remember when they tried that? He was never on the Supreme Court, so he does not have a seat. That's a fantasy the libs concocted.
But it is where we are as a society. We have gotten to the point where people like that on The View, who represent what I would say is a far left-wing perspective, that think about what exactly they are saying. They are saying you should be able to judge what someone believes entirely by looking at them before they speak. This is the full fruition of identity politics, Buck. It's the idea you are a woman, you have to believe in full-on abortion rights, or you are a traitor to all women. You are a black man, you have to have left-wing political opinions, or you are a traitor to other black people. I mean, this is next level thought policing that they will say out loud and consider to be a virtuous argument that they are making.
I mean, just all of the conservative moms across America listening to the show right now are just like, the libs are completely insane on this one. They seem to think that, unwed single women in their 20s, their politics are the only politics that women are allowed to have. It's absurd. It's crazy. That's what the libs on The View think. It's completely insane. All right, we're going to come back here in just a second, and I want to tell you about Black Rifle Coffee. This is the best way for you to get your day started every day. You got great coffee, no matter what form it comes in. Look, Clay likes their cold mocha brew. I like my Black Rifle hot. I drink the K-Cup version. Black Rifle gets the best beans from all over the world. They fresh roast those beans 5 days a week at one of two facilities. They ship their fresh roasted beans to your home on a schedule you determine. Black Rifle Coffee is not in supermarkets or stores. It's online, and that way it's delivered to you with a fresh roast the way coffee should be enjoyed. Go to blackriflecoffee.com and use our names, Clay and Buck, at checkout to get 20% off the fresh roasted coffee you choose or any of their other products. You'll also save when you join the Black Rifle Coffee Club. Go to blackriflecoffee.com. Use our names, Clay and Buck, for 20% off.
Person I will nominate will be someone with extraordinary qualifications, character, experience, and integrity. And that person will be the first black woman ever nominated to the United States Supreme Court. It's long overdue, in my view.
Welcome back to the Clay and Buck Show. There you just had Biden after his during his press conference, where sitting but soon to be retired Justice Breyer was also appearing alongside him. And Biden making quite explicit that it will be a black woman that he appoints to the Supreme Court. This is a clear instance of racial preference in a hiring decision. I mean, if you think about, put aside that this is the president of a Supreme Court seat. Imagine that this was the CEO of a company. And he said, we will only hire this this gender and this race for the following role. That would be a problem. I mean, I'm not an expert in employment discrimination law, but I know that you can't do that. I also know you can't only rent your home to people of a certain gender or race. You can't tell people that only a certain gender and race will go to, well, gender maybe for school purposes is different, but for hiring purposes, obviously, it's quite different. And I mean, Clay, now they're trying to say that this is going to be a huge moment for Democrats. Here's Jim Messina. He's a Democrat strategist, I think, saying this could change the whole makeup of the midterms.
For the next month, you're going to be asking the White House about who they're thinking about the Supreme Court. You're not going to be talking about timing on Build Back Better. You're not going to be talking about poll ratings. We are going to be in this national thrall about who's going to be the next Supreme Court pick. And it just comes at a perfect time on that side. On the other side, you know, this pick is going to be intensely political, in part because of abortion. As you said earlier, and John's talked about, the Supreme Court's likely going to rule on some version of rolling back Roe v. Wade in June. Then you have this pick. I mean, we're going to go straight to the politics of the Supreme Court in a way that is fundamentally has the potential to change the midterm elections.
I think he's really greatly overstating this, actually. I mean, look, he's a Democrat. I don't, Clay, first of all, the Supreme Court decision is going to come down, as we both know, before this pick is, you know, before this person's confirmed. So they won't be involved in that. There'll be some politics behind this, but you've got an extreme lib with Breyer, who they're going to replace with in terms of politics, an extreme lib. It doesn't change the makeup of the court. So I actually don't think this is going to be that big of a, I mean, it's a Supreme Court nomination. People are going to talk about it. We're going to talk about it. But this isn't like the Kavanaugh brawl. No way.
No way. And look, Biden has said that he wants to have his nominee by the end of February. So I don't know if they will start the process of trying to get the approval ready, given that Breyer will step down at the end of June when the Supreme Court term is up, such that you could basically have a seamless transition where when he steps down, there's already somebody confirmed and ready to take over for him. But the idea that this is going to be, in my opinion, in some way a transformative event for the Biden presidency is totally laughably absurd. And again, for Biden to explicitly say, I'm going to put a black woman on the Supreme Court before he even announces who that black woman is going to be is frankly without precedent that I can remember. At any kind of, I mean, Biden kind of did this before when he said, I'm going to pick a woman to be my running mate, but at least he said a woman, right? I mean, there's still 50% of the American population that you could theoretically be considering. When you pick a gender and a race, you are automatically isolating that number in a substantial way. For instance, Buck, imagine the reaction if Donald Trump, when Anthony Kennedy had stepped down, had said, I'm going to pick a white man to replace Anthony Kennedy. People would have lost their minds. People would have been rioting in the streets if Donald Trump had said, I'm going to pick a specific gender and a specific race to replace this justice. That's exactly what Biden did, except he said black woman, and the left wing is not aware. Again, if you apply the logic and you change the race and it is racist, it's still racist, right? And this is where we look at the way that American cultural institutions have swung. And this is why I think the Supreme Court case in North Carolina, University of North Carolina and Harvard could be so significant. And I think it's also why the fact that Asians are being discriminated against now also becomes significant. When you pick someone because of their race or gender, that is sexism and racism. Even if you're trying to do it to redress some form of historical wrong, it doesn't mean it's not racist and sexist.
There's also a fundamental philosophical difference between the way the left clearly views people and individuals and the way that conservatives and people on the right do in this country. We reject that someone's gender or race is in any way indicative of, determining, has anything to do with their sense of the Constitution, justice, the law, ethics, morality. We don't. I mean, it is an anti-conservative position to say, I've looked at someone, I know their gender, I know their skin color, so I, at some level, think I understand what they believe, what they think as a human being. The left, of course, openly embraces this notion. We saw that, or we heard that, with the women of The View, not that anyone should go to them for philosophy, knowledge, or anything else, but them saying that there's a betrayal, you know, that Amy Coney Barrett has betrayed, or that Justice Thomas has betrayed either their gender or their race in this context. This goes to a very core belief that we on the right, we conservatives, think of ourselves as about individuals, as human beings who get to determine what they think, what they believe, how they choose to live their lives and want to be members of the American family without in any way their gender or skin color determining those beliefs. And I think that's an important separation here. We reject this notion that because you are Asian, because you are black or white or anything, you should think the following, or you should believe the following. And same thing, obviously, with gender, especially on the political issues we're talking about, right? I mean, it's absurd, really, when you get down to it. And it's actually quite demeaning. And the left's position,
100%.
And Justice Thomas would agree, he would say it's demeaning.
Well, it's offensive. It's offensive to boil down anyone's individuality to things that they don't control. We don't choose what race we're born. We don't choose what gender we're born, although some people would argue it's heroic to decide to change your gender later in life, but that's a whole nother dispute. If you are not making a choice on something, to me, it's one of the least interesting things about you, by and large. I'm much more interested in the individual than I am in what the individual is born into. And so this represents the full culmination of left-wing identity politics thought. Because, Buck, you can correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think we've ever had a person in a position of authority like Joe Biden explicitly say, I'm picking someone of a specific gender and a specific race, and that's the only people that I'm considering for this job.
No, but I will say, I think you're right, that's never happened before. At some level, though, the honesty, while it's wrong, the honesty that comes out here from the left is somewhat refreshing, because the game they play in college admissions, the game they play in all the diversity and inclusion, you know, centers and all the stuff in HR and everything else is, well, we're really just looking at one of many factors. Oh, right. One of many factors? No, it's actually often used as a determining factor. And if you talk to people, remember we discussed this in Hollywood now, increasingly, the left, because there are all these white liberals, a lot of white liberal guys who think, oh, you know, I'm cool, I'm left wing, everything's great. And they're told, no, we're actually only hiring a person of color for this writing job. And even some of the libs are saying, well, hold on a second. That's not the way this is supposed to go, because it's just what was hidden before and what they were dishonest about before, the holistic approach. It shouldn't be a factor at all, is the point. And what happens when they allow it to be any factor is they abuse it, and they're doing quotas. They're just stealth quotas.
Well, and again, to me, this is ultimately an attack. Whoever is nominated for the Supreme Court, it represents a culmination of their life's work. It's an incredible level of accomplishment. Whoever Joe Biden nominates now, a huge percentage of the American population is going to say, that person didn't deserve it. The only reason they got it is because they're a black woman, and he specifically restricted his search to black women. Whereas he could have come out and put out a list like Donald Trump did of 20 or 30 or 40 or 50 different potential nominees of all different races and genders. And then if he selects whoever he does, people can say, okay, that person was the best in Joe Biden's estimation of this job. Instead, he's undercut that career accomplishment for whoever gets this by his quota system. Do something really special for your family this winter. Go ahead and digitize all those home movies you have on video and film reels. When you take this project on, rely on Legacy Box to help you do the digital transfer. This is what they do, and they've done it for some 1.5 million families to date. There's a team of 200 technicians with all the right gear ready to help you get this project done. One of the magic outcomes of digitally transferring all of your family memories is being able to share them again. You won't have a single unhappy family member on the receiving end of your email to them with a link to all these past memories. When Legacy Box has 2 or 3 weeks to work with you, they take care of you, send you a digital link and a thumb drive that has all your family memories. White glove service, meaning they'll take great care of your old photos, film, video, slides, whatever you send them. And they send all the items back too. While it's winter and you're spending more time indoors, make this a project. This is a great time of year to get a great discount from Legacy Box. Do it today by going to legacybox.com/clay. That's legacybox.com/clay. Sign up today. Welcome back in, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. I hope all of you are having a fantastic Thursday as we roll through the program today. Let's see if I can get it right, Buck. We are going to be joined at the top of the next hour, fingers crossed, by Jedediah Bila.
Yes!
Boom! Nailed it. And also, Raheem Kassam is going to join us in the third hour. Lots of good guest topics, discussions. Miranda Devine, by the way, was amazing in the first hour. New York Post writer, author of Laptop from Hell, breaking down everything surrounding the secret landing of illegal immigrants in this country and their then disbursement across this nation. And by the way, Buck, one question I would have asked her when we were having that conversation. I would like to know and have the head of HHS grilled on this. Where is that money coming from? To put all of these illegal immigrants on airplanes, I know it's tax dollars, but how is that being classified for purposes of our tax dollars being spent to put illegal immigrants onto airplanes and fly them into American airports? That's pretty expensive. Anybody out there that has ever looked into chartering a plane to fill it up with people, it ain't a low cost. And if we're doing this for hundreds of thousands of illegal immigrants, shouldn't somebody have to answer for how our tax dollars are being used in that particular aspect, if nothing else? Because I'm sitting back here as a guy pays a pretty high tax rate. The idea that my money is going to subsidize illegal immigrants being flown all over the country to illegally enter our nation is, there are lots of ways that we spend money that I don't agree with, but I can hardly imagine there's anybody in America that agrees with this.
It's remarkable when you see how much they're trying to hide what's going on from public view. And it's because the elites like illegal immigration and the Democrat Party apparatus itself wants more illegal immigration. They are not anti-illegal immigration. That is not true. They want to call them undocumented. They want to give full amnesty, and they want future amnesties. The American people in solid majority are not with them on this. This is something that they do as part of a long-term play to make America a one-party, Democrat-only state. And in the shorter term, it's because the base wants it, and the Democrat elites are very devoted to it. But they have to hide this from the American people, because you see a lot of the polling shows. Yeah, sure. Economy, inflation, the top 2-3 issues are always some jobs, economy, inflation. Immigration is often number 3, number 4, number 5. It is a high level issue of concern for a vast, vast number of Americans all across the country. So that's why they have to hide it, Clay. This is one of those things where if people know what's really going on with the Democrats, it will affect them negatively, and that's why they won't tell people about it. And as for the budgets and the federal government, and it's amazing how many ways there are to get away with misusing taxpayer dollars. Jeff in North Carolina wants to weigh in on the Supreme Court situation. Hey, Jeff, what's going on?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. My way of thinking on this is I'm wondering why the Republicans would not, no matter who is nominated, why wouldn't they just push them through, get it over, get it done, not going to matter either way, and then get the focus back on the White House and what a horrible job's going on there with our president and all the policies and the economy and inflation, all the things that are so horrible right now going into these midterms.
Jeff, I think what you're saying is what's largely going to happen from the perspective of a lot of Republicans. I think you'll see. And Clay, I'm very curious to know how you see this playing out. First of all, the Democrats will set the Senate schedule on this one. You know, they are able to act as in the majority. So they're going to put this forward this summer. They're going to try to turn it into a political issue for the midterms. I think they'll have limited success with that, though. But I also believe that Republicans, I mean, I could even start naming names who I think will clearly go along with this nominee, Clay. I think you might see a lot of, look, if Biden nominates somebody who has the basic credentials that you would expect for a Supreme Court justice, which are obviously not very basic, and then is also a black female, would be the first black female in the Supreme Court, I think a lot of Republicans are going to say, you know, fine. I don't think they're going to put up a fight. Well, by the way, if the person is qualified, fine.
What's interesting is James Clyburn, who obviously is a powerful congressman from South Carolina, who basically got Joe Biden the nomination, right, when he decided to endorse him for the South Carolina primary, because Joe Biden was dead until he dominated in South Carolina. And remember, no black voters ever really supported Bernie Sanders. That was one of the stories. And certainly they weren't going to support Mayor Pete. And people pretend that that's because they're like, oh, they don't know Mayor Pete. No, it's because Mayor Pete's gay, right? I mean, let's be honest. The reason why Mayor Pete did not connect with the black electorate that makes decisions in the Democratic primary was to a large extent because he was gay. And then Bernie was too far left wing, a socialist from Vermont, didn't have a connection. Clyburn said, hey, Joe Biden's the guy. And so Clyburn has already come out publicly and said there is a state court judge, I believe, or federal court judge in South Carolina. He said if Biden picks this woman, this black woman, then based on his conversations with Lindsey Graham and with Tim Scott, the two senators, Republican senators from South Carolina, he thinks they would vote for him for this nominee. And so depending on who he picks, the politics here could get really pretty straightforward and simple. And it's worth noting, Lindsey Graham has been consistent here and tended to give deferential treatment to the president, which I think he's right on to a large extent when it comes to Supreme Court nominees.
Just to add to my sense that some Republicans will go along with this. I mean, they should test and ask questions, and they're going to put a left-wing activist in the court. Sotomayor in 2009, 68-31, folks.
Yeah.
So bunch of Republicans went along with, and Sotomayor was a radical leftist that they then put on the Supreme Court. So trust me, you're going to have some Republicans go along with this one.
I think the caller's right. I mean, this is not going to be a battle you can win. Focus on all the things Biden is failing on. You're trading one liberal for another. I don't think it's politically strong to make your battle here.
We've got a fierce conservative mama bear joining us, Jedediah Bila, up next.
You're listening to Clay Travis and Buck Sexton on the EIB Network.